Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Show, your ultimate guide to everything real estate. Whether you're a first-time buyer, a seasoned investor, or thinking about selling, we have the insights you need. Your host, Larry Shackman, the real estate therapist and a top-producing broker, will break it down weekly. We'll dive deep into market trends and speak with industry pros about everything from pricing and negotiation strategies and staging tips to financing options and home inspections. This fast-paced, ever-evolving market doesn't have to be overwhelming. We are here to guide you through it. Today's show is brought to you by TrustedAgentUSA.com. Get your market value, explore your selling options, and choose your closing date. Go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and do real estate your way. You've got options. Licensed in Illinois. Number 475-145-795. Now, let's dive in. Here's Larry.
All right, everybody, welcome back and welcome to Real Estate Radio. We have a great show today. We're going to start off as soon as he gets here with Dylan Kramer. We're going to talk real quickly about the mortgage market, what's going on with rates, and, you know, just what's happening out there. There's a lot going on in real estate, and at the same time, there's not a lot going on. So I know that might be confusing, but we'll touch on that a little bit. And we're going to have a great guest on, my friend and an awesome home inspector, the owner-operator of Inspect and Check, and that is BJ Posnecki. He's a busy guy. We're happy to have him on today, and he's going to tell us all about, you know, why home inspections are so important. I don't care if you're in a multiple offer and you're going up against cash offers, investors, whoever, and people are telling you, oh, forego the home inspection. Just buy the, you can't do that. And BJ's going to, that's one thing that BJ's going to explain why you can't do that. So, you know what? Dylan's not here yet. Let's bring BJ on now. There he is, the man of the hour.
Larry, how are you?
How you doing, bud?
Good, good. Thank you for having me on.
Are you off to another home inspection or what?
I am. I'm sitting. This is the day in the life. I'm sitting in a parking lot down the street from my next one here, ready to go. So, yeah.
I know you had a busy day yesterday.
Yeah, with these five-day attorney reviews, right? Like, it just, you know, you've been in the game a long time, right? Like, you know, when people go under contract, they got, you know, such a short period of time to get everything done. So, you know, I just open up my schedule to try to be as accommodating as possible. So I've been very blessed to have great people like you that send me a lot of business and keeping me busy. And yeah, I've been running 6-7 days a week, you know, so thank you.
I'm glad to hear it because you do an awesome job. You put buyers at ease, which is important. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But before we do, how you got started, how did you get to the point where you are now? Owner operator of Inspect and Check and home inspector doing home inspections every day. How'd you get to this point? How'd you get here?
Well, honestly, it's been a blessing. So, my background, I'm for the most part was in residential remodeling for most of my career. And then I was working with Pulte Homes, building new houses. COVID hit, they had a massive downsizing. They let people go throughout the whole country. And I sent out my resume for a couple of weeks and nobody, you know, everybody was super nice. They're like, hey, you know, we don't know what's going on in the world either. Good luck. You know, we'll let you know if something happens. And so I was thinking about the home inspection thing for a while, but you know, you got a cushy corporate salary, like all is good. And so I never pulled the trigger. I kept pushing it off. And yeah. Then when you get fired and life pushes you in a different direction. Yeah. And so I'm like, you know, I send out my resume for the first couple of weeks. And then I'm like, you know what? I think now is just, do I sit back and just kind of keep trying to find a job? Or do I just go off and just go all in and see what happens? And if I fall on my face, like, hey, like, and just get back up and keep going forward. And I got to say, you know what? All the stars aligned for me. I mean, you know, Pulte was a great experience, you know, because like I said, most of my career was in residential remodeling. So to be with a big company, a big builder like Pulte Homes, and to be surrounded by some of the brightest minds in the new home building industry was a huge, a great opportunity for me. You know, I just took advantage of that, of that, you know, of being in that company and surrounding myself with sales and land development and the construction division, warranty, everybody, you know, and that has led to all of that has led to who I am now. And that's been a huge help to my success on creating a world class home inspections experience. So, yeah. And you know, just like how you and I met, you know, through social media, I was overseeing Pulte's warranty division, and I would just get hammered day in and day out with inquiries on, hey, I'm experiencing this or that. And I couldn't get anything done, the tasks that I needed to get done. So I started shooting how-to troubleshooting videos, mm-hmm. and people seemed to like it. It kind of just seemed to work. You know, I shoot the video, I post it on YouTube, send them the link and just be like, watch this video. And it just seemed to work. People liked it. And so when I went off and did the, you know, started my home inspection business, I just basically kind of just used that model of just making the videos and posting them and befriending real estate agents. And what a great day and age we live in that yeah. you can build a business from nothing with social media.
Hey, man, welcome to America, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, honestly, what a great time to be alive. You know what I mean? And, it, you know, especially if you're like you, you know, real estate agent or just trying to build a business, anything, like there's anything is possible with this social media thing.
So. Ask Gen Z, man, they're building businesses every day online, you know, I mean, so it's a whole new world out there. So how long ago was that you transitioned into home inspections and inspecting check? How long ago was that?
It's literally been 4 years, November of 2020.
Oh, okay.
So it's been 4 years. So yeah, we got let go May 2020. I went ahead and spent that whole summer just getting all my ducks in a row, got the course, got the incorporated, got all of my back of the house stuff done throughout the summer. And then, yeah, I was just sitting waiting on my license. I submitted everything in July, but you know, COVID, reduced staff hours, all that. So I didn't actually get my license so I can operate until like the end of October. So yeah, we're 4 year anniversary this month.
That's awesome. Congratulations, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, so, you know, like me, I'm a broker, I'm a title agent. I've been in business for 24 years. You've been in real estate for years, whether with Pulte or as a home inspector or whatever else. And how do you, because I run into this every day and all the agents I work with run into this every day and agents I talk with me about this. How do you differentiate yourself from all the other home inspection companies out there? Because there's a lot of them.
Yeah. And they're very good.
There's a lot of good home inspection companies out there. It's tough to find a good home inspector that you're comfortable with, you know, because that's like everything else in business. You got to be comfortable, know, like, and trust the person you're working with. And how do you separate yourself? How do you differentiate yourself from the masses of home inspectors out here?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, there's a lot of great guys. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are home inspectors and they are phenomenal home inspectors. I think what's worked well for me is, no house is perfect. Everything gets old. Everything ages. Eventually everything breaks, but everything can be fixed. So the thing is, you know, there's, you know, when stuff comes up on a home inspection, I'm not that kind of guy that I'll never tell anybody to walk away from a house. It's all we're there to do is just share with the client what we find, try to offer some solutions. Again, everything can be fixed. And I think it's how I think what's worked well for me so far is how I deliver what I find. You know what I mean? Like a lot of guys have a tendency in my industry, unfortunately. Well, here, it's funny. You know, a lot of home inspectors are usually guys that had a remodeling company that failed. They worked for a builder and they got fired. And they have a chip on their shoulder. And I'm like all the above. And you know, it's funny how these how sometimes guys can, you know, scare people on the house. But the thing is, you know, that's what we're there for, you know, and I think it's all how you deliver, you know, what is found during the inspection. Yeah. I mean,
from the perspective of a real estate broker who's bringing the buyer to the table and, hey, this is BJ, work with him a lot. Awesome home inspector. You're going to get 100-page report with pictures and videos of every little thing you could possibly think you don't want to know about this house, right? And so what you just touched on is really what I think is the most important thing when it comes to being a good home inspector, and that is delivering the results of the home inspection. Because literally, folks, BJ is going to give you a link that's going to take you to a report that's 100+ pages long in some cases. It's going to cover every system in the house, everything from the roof to the basement, to the HVAC, is there any mold in the house? Is there anything leaking behind the wall? You know, what's the flashing look like around the chimney? I mean, obscure things you never think about. You may never think about once you move into the house, but you are going to get this 100-page report. And it's going to come tabbed with yellow, green, and red tabs, right?
Yeah.
And these yellow, green, and red tabs are going to tell you, hey, this is a warning. Keep an eye on this. Or red, hey, you have to get a licensed inspector in there to take a look at this, I think, and kind of, you know, give you the okay on it before you move on, or tell you what you need to do to fix it. And then you can go down that road, negotiating it with the seller and, you know, all that good stuff. But yeah, talk a little bit about that, because you deliver, like I said, 100-page report that's going to scare the crap out of anybody that looks at it. Am I right?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. For me, what's worked pretty well is, which, you know, because you've been there, and I got the same spiel with everybody, you know, as soon as I, you know, meet the client face to face. Is, you know, I explain the whole process of how I'm going to do things. I'm going to start on the outside. I'm going to do the outside, the roof. If I can't physically get on the roof, I'm going to send the drone up there, weather permitting, and trees and, you know, obstructions and stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to go inside the house. We're going to get everything turned on, the kitchen, laundry appliances. If we got good temperatures, we're going to kick the AC on, let that run, get everything up and running. And then I'm going to start from the top, do the second floor attic, first floor basement, hitting the mechanical systems, finishing with the furnace. And then, you know, if they order a sewer scope or any additional services, you know, I'll mold testing, radon testing, I kind of get those going right when we start the inspection, just so that's underway. And then like a sewer scope, I'll finish with that. And then I just tell folks like, hey, don't freak out. You're going to see me take a gazillion pictures. I'm going to put everything in the report, and I have the three different icons, like you just said, the blue, orange, red. Blue, minor maintenance things, doors sticking, outlets loose, things that you can add to your to-do list when you move in or not. Like, they're there for your knowledge. I acknowledge them. They're minor things. Mm-hmm. Orange, I like to classify those as, you know, orange is a recommendation, but I like to tell people those are things that, like, I would put on my to-do list if I was buying this house, you know? Mm-hmm. And or if something's maybe getting a little bit older, but it's working today. So, like, you know, the gutters are a little bit close to the house, right? Like, hey, like, you know, a $10 gutter extension can make a world of difference to getting the water away from the foundation, right? Like, you know, you let that go for years, you know, it could, you know, it could settle the house, right? Where it could be a little bit more costly. Mm-hmm. And then I always tell people, you know, anything electrical, water leaking, something not working, even if it's an easy fix, and we'll go over these if we have any, you know, I'll use that red defect, but I could use it for a $25 part, you know, one of those outlets that go by a kitchen or a bathroom sink, the GFIs, the ones with the little test and reset button, to, you know, maybe an issue with the sewer pipe that could be, you know, in the thousands of dollars, you know. And I think just going through my process and how things are going to go through the inspection. And then I, you know, I always give people the option. They're more than welcome to follow me around as I go through the home. You know, I, you know, they're more than welcome to follow me if they want to hang out. I can grab them if there's something bigger, recap at the end, hybrid. However, I like giving people the option, you know, that they're more than welcome to follow me and we can work however they like. Some home inspectors are like, ah, you know what, leave me alone. We'll just go over it when we're done. You know, I like to offer the, you know, the hand holding, you know, if people want it, you know, especially with first time home buyers, right? Like it's a lot.
It's a lot. It can scare someone, man.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
it really can.
Yeah, you know, taking care of a home's a lot.
You gave me some great advice. You really did. So I want to say this was a couple of years ago, probably. And I used to always tell my clients, you know, I work with BJ. He does an amazing job. You know, he's going to give you a report that's 100 pages long, going to tell you everything about the property. You don't really need to take a day off work to go to the home inspection. I completely changed that after talking to you, because it doesn't make sense not to send your buyers to the home inspection. At least one of them, have one of the buyers there or all of the buyers there, preferably not with the rest of their family, but the buyers, right? It makes sense for the buyers to go to the home inspection, because that way, when they're there with you, you're going to be able to do just what you explained to me. And that is articulate what you're seeing and what you're finding in real time at that time, as opposed to them getting this report that especially if they're first time home buyers, it's going to scare them. They're going to look at it and they're going to go, oh my God, I remember that home in Aurora that looked amazing. You know, they just rehabbed it, looked amazing. But after we did the home inspection, there were all kinds of things that came up and we had to pass on that house. Do you remember that house?
I do.
Yeah. And I do. Lost some buyers, and we found them another house, and you did the inspection on that house. Good to go. And they were just happy as can be with that, the house they found and bought. But I think it's so important to have your buyers at the home inspection so they can be there with you. And even if they don't shadow you around the whole thing, when you find something that you think, hey, I want to explain this to you because you're going to see this on the report, but I want to let you know, blah, 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 you know, and put them at ease, or tell them, listen, I found this. If I was buying this home, I would have a mold inspector come in and take a look at this. You know, so it's both of those things. But having them there with you is invaluable, and literally say will save a deal and will save me from having to, you know, try and explain something that you can explain firsthand when you're there, when they're there, looking at the issue with you.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. So, right. Like I got a lot of friends in the industry, right. You know, and so I have a good friend of mine, Mark Cancello, on the Mark inspections in Indiana. And in Indiana, it's totally different than here in Illinois, not to go off topic, but just to kind of give you like a little contrast.
Oh, yeah.
Mark is an incredible home inspector, but Indiana is like the wild, wild west, Lair. Like, the agent doesn't show up, the buyer, nobody's there, lockbox code, do it whenever you want. And I know Mark and I will team up on stuff, so I know he's an incredible home inspector. And he just, like, since the buyer's never there, he's always dealing with these issues after they move in and this and that. And it's like a constant nightmare for this poor guy. And I'm like, the only thing I can correlate it to is because they're not there.
Yeah.
Seeing that he's tearing through the whole house and touching everything. I know he's a super thorough guy like myself. We all are. I mean, that's just our person, right? For what we do, like, it's our character to be detail oriented. Like, I've always just, ever since I've been a kid, like, I've always been OCD and neurotic about everything I do. Everything's got a system and everything in every area of my life, you know? Right. And yeah, the poor guy just deals with all kinds of stuff. And, you know, knock on wood, I've been very lucky because I implore the client to come. Even if, like, right, like, you're busy doing deals, you don't need to be there if you don't want to, right? The agent doesn't need to be there. If they're cool, if the listing agent, the buyer's agent, everybody's cool with giving me the lockbox code and just going there with the agent, great. Because then you guys can be off making other deals and doing other things that are of importance, right? Because you're going to both get the report. You're going to go over it with the client. That's done at a later time anyway, right? So, but it's always best if the client goes there, because then this way I can show them firsthand and walk through things, you know, and
yeah.
You know, try to, you know, come up with some solutions. You know, if it's something a little bit bigger, some stuff you just, you know, even with my background, sometimes you just have to get a professional in, because then they're going to have to troubleshoot and go from there, right? Yeah. But yeah, it definitely does help what the client is.
So do most agents, and what you said is true, the agent, it's not imperative that the real estate broker is there that's representing the buyer. It's more imperative that unless the listing agent requires that. But if not, what's really important is just making sure the buyer is there. You just have to make sure the buyer is there, because without it, you're going to be explaining things that you don't need to be explaining, that BJ should be explaining. And it's not a great look. It's better if the buyer's there, getting it firsthand, real time, at the time you're looking at it. And I just think that was so because for most of my career, I was always telling the buyer, you're going to get this huge report. And actually seeing this happen in real time and getting your explanation in real time. So I'm curious, you kind of mentioned how you go about doing a home inspection. When you first get there, you know, you do the outside first, you get a look at the roof. Do you use a drone to look at the roof, or do you go up on the roof?
If I can safely get up on the roof, I like to get up on the roof, just because nothing beats being, you know, 4 feet, 5 feet away from it, standing on the roof and seeing things and bending down and right. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, somebody's houses, these two-story houses, you know, with these steep roofs, you know, or, you know, the split levels or the ones with, you know, multiple levels, you know, sometimes it's just challenging. You know, I've done it. I probably shouldn't be doing it. It's probably not the smartest decision I made, but a lot of times I'll go up on the lower roof, grab the ladder, pull it up, and then go up there. I mean, really, you should be having two.
Why women live longer than men? Yeah, you got to be careful, you know, but yes. I think what are like some of the main things that you come across when you're doing a home inspection? Some things that need repair and you might come across on a more regular basis than others, and maybe buyers should keep their eyes open for.
So are we talking more like general home maintenance or?
Yeah, general home maintenance.
Well, definitely taking care of the mechanical systems. I mean, that's probably one thing that I see the most, is delayed maintenance on the furnace, air conditioner, and water heater. So, you know, I mean, you know, just like anything, right? You take, you know, your you take care of it, it's going to last longer. So staying on top of annual maintenance for the furnace and air conditioner, like that's money well spent. Like every year, just have a heating and air guy, go through it, clean it, you know, anything that looks a little questionable, replace it. You know, we want to, you know, that stuff is expensive. You know what I mean? We want it to last as long as possible. You know what I mean? You're, you know, you're anywhere from $3,500 to $5,000 on a furnace. Same thing for an air conditioner, water heaters, depending on what kind you have. You know, if you have a 50 or a 75, you know, those can get $1,500 to $2,000. They can get expensive.
Yeah.
Water heaters, I usually tell people, you know, twice a year, it's something you can do yourself. Just, you know, there's a drain valve at the bottom of the water heater. Usually your furnace and water heater, all that stuff is usually in a mechanical room, you know, where not always, but usually it's close to a floor drain, you know, or there's usually a floor drain in proximity or a sump pump, you know, just take a hose right from the water heater, put it down the drain or the sump pump, open up the valve, let it flush out the water heater a couple times a year, spring, fall, you know, get all that sediment out, you know, that'll help it last longer. Cause a lot of times, you know, the water heaters, for example, like when they need to be replaced, it's usually cause the tank rusted out and they got, you know, there's nothing you could do at that point. All right. The other parts you can replace, the pressure relief valve, the gas control valve, you know, the external stuff is easy to replace, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I would say delayed maintenance on mechanical systems. And then, I mean, I know it's really not falling right into your question, but like the one thing I see quite a bit is moldy attics, you know, and I want to get into that.
Hang on. Okay. Because I want to go back to what you were talking about with just maintenance on things. Because, you know, you move into a house, right? You get a passing grade on your home inspection and you move into your house and you get back to your life, right? You just start doing your thing. You don't think about, you know, cleaning the furnace every year, changing the filter every year, draining the hot water tank every year. How do you get homeowners to wrap themselves around this is important? You got to do this stuff if you want to maintain these things and not have to replace them before you should.
Well,
how do you have a list or some type of maintenance list or something that, hey, every fall I'm going to do this, every spring I'm going to start with this?
I'm sorry. Yes. That. So I'm a big fan of putting reminders in my calendar and my phone, you know, every month, check furnace filter, you know, every year have it cleaned and serviced. Yeah. So I'm a big proponent of using my calendar, my phone, and putting those reminders in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way to go.
So important, because people don't automatically, that's not something they're thinking about day to day unless something breaks down.
Right.
So let's get back to mold in the attic. And you say, you mentioned that you see that a lot, right? You see, or you come across that. And yeah, moldy attics are a problem. You know, I was a huge REO agent for about 10 years. So I sold thousands of foreclosures. And you know what happens to a house when it sits vacant for some of these houses I had in my inventory for 2 years before we ever started actually marketing it. After it went through the foreclosure process. And in Illinois, because we're a judicial foreclosure state, that could take 2, 3, 4 years to get through the foreclosure process. And we actually start marketing it then and put it on the market, that kind of thing, you know, rehab it and all that. So mm-hmm. I have seen black mold in houses that I would walk into, and I had to have the N95 mask on and all that. But I have seen black mold from the basement to the third floor, like enveloping the entire home. Now, mold in an attic is a little different. Not different, it's the same, you know, biological thing we're talking about here, but it happens more often than I think people realize. And let's talk about that a little bit. Why does that happen so often mold?
Yeah, so usually majority, 99 out of 100 times, it's usually due to not having enough ventilation in the attic. Well, people always think that they're doing good by doing this. But okay, so typically, you know, we'll just use a regular standard house, you know, by the gutters, by the eaves, you have perforated soffits that allow the fresh air to come up and into the attic. And then you have either ridge, dome, turbines, you have some kind of venting on the upper end of the roof that allows that hot air to go up there. So one of the things that I see a lot is people will add insulation. They're up there and they'll be up there maybe like, you know, they'll do something like that in a cooler time of the year, right? You know, because you're not up there in the, you know, summer, you know, dying up there in the heat. Mm-hmm. And they'll feel the cold draft coming up from the soffit vents and they'll be like, oh, well, you know, let me cover this. So then they end up covering all of the vents, not allowing the fresh air to come up in there. And then it's just that hot, stale, moist air. And that's a feeding ground for mold. And so at that point, then now, you know, and this is just one example, right? Sometimes you need to add more vents and, you know, there's kind of a case by case.
I've had that at some houses where they've had to add a vent. As a matter of fact, there was one in Lakeview. I'm pretty sure you did the inspection on that. Where they had to put a vent in the attic to, you know, just air it out. Yeah, and that's a good point. So what you're saying is when homeowners go up there and they just throw a bunch of insulation up there without really thinking about it, they could cause the problem in and of itself. It's starting to, you know, create mold and discoloration in that attic space. So it's something to keep in mind for people that if you're going to do that and you're not sure about it, call in a contractor to do it. You want to blow in some insulation, have a contractor do it, because one small mistake can cost you a lot of money.
Oh, man. I mean, that's an expensive trade, you know, the insurance, the product, you know, working in some of these tight areas. So, yeah. And then it's twofold. It's having a mold contractor get rid of the mold, but then you have to have a roofer get more ventilation in there so it doesn't come back. Because I can't tell you how many times I've seen the remediation done, but they didn't have a roofer come in and it all came back, you know, and now you just wasted all of that money, you know.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I actually this was the first I seen. Sunday I was in Niles and the only upper vent was an attic fan. So it was an older townhouse, cute, you know, well built, all of that, but that's what they decided to do on this one is put in an attic fan. Well, the house was built in 65. At some point in time, the fan failed. Now you have no upper vents. Or no, nothing removing the hot air. It was so bad, Lair, that it was so the underside of the roof, the underlayment was so wet for so long that the plywood, you know, it's layers, right? It literally started separating, and the bottom layer was actually falling off into the attic. Thank God it was too high of an attic that I sent too high of a roof that I sent the drone up there. I might have actually I would have walked careful. I always kind of walk carefully.
Yeah, but you fall through the roof.
I might have on that one. It's possible. Yeah.
So some of these REOs that I had mold in, I mean, we literally on some of these did $30,000 mold jobs to remediate the mold, to mitigate the whole issue. And one day you're walking in and it's all black mold. And the next day you're walking in and it's all painted with the, you know, encapsulating it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I've seen that. It's a nightmare. You got to be careful with it. And there's a lot of nightmares that you come across probably. We're going to take a 30-second break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of those nightmares.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All All right, everybody, we're back. I'm just shooting something off to Dylan here, see if I can get him hooked up and we can do this, talk a little mortgages later on in the show. But so we ended by talking a little bit about some of the nightmares and horrific things that you see when you're doing home inspections, and things that maybe buyers need to keep an eye out for. But give our listeners just a little idea of what are some of those things? What are some of the craziest things you've come across?
Well, you know, it's funny you asked me this, because I literally, my last post was a video of a house that I did earlier this year in Oak Forest. It was a couple of younger kids. It was their first rehab flip. And look, I get it. Like, I've been there. You know what I mean? Like, you think, I'm just going to, you know, this is easy. You know, I'm just going to hire guys to do it. And, you know, I'm going to make all this money. So nobody was obviously checking on the project. So it's the dead of winter. It's January, February. I get there. They, long story short, they basically, like, the sump pump, the drain tile for the sump pump, like, clogged up. So now when the sump pump's going off, the water's shooting back out of the pipe all over the gas meter freezes, gas is pouring everywhere, you know? So I really shouldn't have, like, even moved forward, but I'm like, well, it's outside and I'm all the way down in Oak Forest. I'm just going to, I know it was not the smartest idea. I was there by myself. You know what I mean? So I just went ahead and, like, kept all the doors and windows and everything open and went forward. But oh yeah, I mean, they didn't hook up the plumbing to the kitchen or the bathroom. There was no running water. The electric wasn't hooked up for the garage door openers. No insulation in the attic. They obviously, when they renovated, they pulled the ceiling down. All the insulation came out. So then when they re-drywalled, they just never went back up there and insulated. So there's no insulation in the attic.
Now, this was a home that was already rehabbed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a flipped home. Yeah.
And these were, and you were doing the inspection for the new buyers that were buying the home.
Correct.
So the house looked great.
Yeah.
The house was purchased by an investor, rehabbed, and now they're flipping it.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay. So how does a real estate investor miss all these things? Because I've invested in a lot of properties. I have flipped a lot of properties all over the Western suburbs, Geneva, St. Charles, Naperville, all everywhere. How do you miss all that?
Well, so they ended up coming later on because the buyer's agent ended up calling, you know, the investor, and they ended up coming over. So I ended up meeting them at the end of the inspection. They were a couple of younger guys. It was the first one they ever did, you know, not realize, you know, thinking that you could just pay people to trust them to finish the job and not check up on it. Like, there's always, you always have to do that quality assurance. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's got to be managing the project and keeping an eye on things and staying on top of the guys. I mean,
that is crazy. That is crazy, dude. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. Cause I saw that video.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I remember when I saw that post probably like 3-4 days ago.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it and thinking, wait, this was rehabbed? How did they miss all this? I mean, that's like crazy stuff to miss.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on the surface, it looked great. I mean, they picked nice finishes and fixtures, as you could see in that video, but yeah.
Nice stainless steel, nice counters, nice cabinets. If you walked in the house and just did a visual on it, you would say, great job.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah.
But it's falling apart behind the scenes.
Yeah. And look, you know, being that I come from that world, right? Like, I, you know, I don't like to be critical. Like, I get it. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And that, you know, I'm no exception to the rule, you know. But, you know, it just, people just got to give time to just take time. You know what I mean? To check things. That's all it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, when you cut, you know, they always, there's always been a saying in the construction industry that 90% of the time is the last 10% of the job. Like, you know, like, you know, it does. I mean, it goes fast, but then it's, you know, at the end, it's taking that time, going room to room and just, you know, checking that everything is good. You know what I mean? And like, I time everything. Like when I used to be with Pulte, you know, I would, you know, do warranty inspections, quality, you know, quality assurance walks, you know, so, you know, Pulte had a, unfortunately, a lot of us were so busy and had so much on our plate, it didn't get implemented, but it was supposed to be somebody else other than the project manager was supposed to walk the house and do a confirmation walk, basically give a second set of eyes. So it's kind of like a watered down home inspection.
Sure.
I time everything. It's, you know, on a 3,000 square foot, let's just call it, you know, a two-story house with a basement, it's 3 to 4 hours. I mean, like, I hate to say it, but like people that run through trying to check something in an hour, hour and a half, it's just not enough time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You have to give yourself enough time to do your due diligence. I don't care if you're a home inspector like BJ, or if you're an investor like me or another investor that for whatever reason, you have got to, like, before we would put a house on the market after rehabbing it, man, we tested everything and made sure it was all running perfectly. And, you know, not only that, but one of our things is we wanted to have one or two wow factors in every investment property that we rehabbed and put back on the market. So whether that was like a wall with shiplap that people came in and their eyes were immediately drawn to that, or whether it was a bathroom with a really nice claw tub in it, or, you know, just something unique. But as important as that is, you've got to go in there and you've got to make sure that when you're putting this house back on the market, it's going to pass with flying colors. You know, otherwise you're going to run into that same thing that happened with you in that video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's you really have to, you got to do your due diligence, whether you're a buyer, a home inspector, or an investor. Any other that you could think of, any horror stories that you can, you know, it's how we just passed Halloween. So I thought horror stories. Good sub. Any other like horror stories or anything that you could think about that you've come across that buyers should just be aware of?
Well, you know, I'm almost to the point where I almost feel like this is more important. And I don't know if this answers your question or not, but I almost feel like scoping the sewer is almost as important as the home inspection. Like, here's the thing, like the home inspection, like I can kind of walk somebody through like, hey, you know, peek your head in the attic. Do you see any mold? Look at the, you know, mechanical systems. Do they look old? Are you seeing any excessive cracking, you know, on the exterior walls, you know, or throughout the home, you know, that, you know, could be an indication of structural failure. Like those are the things that we can see. I get worried about what I can't see. And so the sewer scope, I would say, after the home inspection is worth its weight in gold, you know, for the $300-$400. I mean, and not to scare people or be an alarmist, you know, but I would say now, cause I would say like 7 out of 10 people order a sewer scope when they're buying a single family home. Honestly, it's like a flip of a coin. If I'm going to find an issue, I would say it's like a 50-50 shot, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
Not everybody does those. I mean, I would say if I had to guess, I would say the majority of people, and correct me if I'm wrong, but don't do sewer scopes. Am I right?
Well, I can only speak for myself, and I would say it's closer to the opposite. I would say with, you know, over the last 4 years, I would say I'm at like, I'm 6 borderline 7 out of 10 people order a sewer scope on a single.
Is that because they order it, or because you suggest they order it, or their agents suggest they order it?
You know what? All the above. So, you know, I have some agents that, you know, when they, you know, recommend me, they're like, hey, and he could scope the sewer too. Like, that's something, you know, definitely do. And, you know, I always, you know, when I make contact with the client, I send them just a list of other services in addition to the inspection that I can do. Hey, I just want to let you know that these are available. Let me know if you want me to do them. You know, I don't push it. I just send a text and I don't even follow up on it, you know, and
I think that's a good idea just to kind of remind people, you might want to consider this, you know.
Yeah. Just sharing with people what's available. You know what I mean? You know, that they may not know. And it's funny because they must, like, at first, a lot of people, like first time home buyers, be like, ah, we're good with just the inspection. And then they must forward that to like a family member or a friend. And then all of a sudden, like a next day later, they're like, yeah, I want the sewer scope. And it's usually because they sent it to somebody that had an issue with a sewer scope or sewer, and it costed them thousands or maybe even tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, you know, just right off the bat, like here, like any, you know, the pipes, let's just say the pipes sheared right out of the foundation wall, right? Like, let's just say they don't put a good substrate underneath the pipe coming out of the foundation wall, and then they backfill and they put all that, you know, soil back on it, and then the pipe shears. That's one thing I see a lot, where the pipe drops down, where the water's still flowing fine, but now the water's back flowing out of there and washing out the underpinning, and then eventually the pipe completely collapses. Just something like that, Lair, depending on, you know, how deep it is, what's in above there, landscape, patios, you know, the sewer pipe can be anywhere from 4, 6, 8, 10 feet deep. You know, you're looking at $3,000 to $6,000 just right there in that one repair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Can add up so fast.
Oh yeah. So fast. So. Yeah. So
that is a really good point, because so we've been through some crazy, crazy markets, right? Where things were just flying off the market. And now it's settled down in the last few months for sure. So it's not the same market it was several months ago, where if you put a house on the market and you position it correctly, price-wise, you're going to get multiple offers on it, and you're probably or could very well go over list price, and you're going to have a lot of fervor and activity and all that. And what that has caused a lot of people to do is say, you know what, Larry, tell them I just won't do the home inspection. Tell them we're going to forego a home inspection. We're going to forego an appraisal if they're buying cash. And we're just going to tell them we just want the house. We just want the house. And we're going to pay $40,000 over list price for it. And so people for a while there, I would never tell anyone to do this. And I never have told anyone to do this, even in a multiple offer situation. But very often in a situation like that, a buyer may opt to pass on a home inspection and say, hey, we're going to buy it as is, and we're not even going to do a home inspection. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, and I get, believe it or not, I get asked this question quite a bit. And I'm sure everybody's thinking I'm going to obviously hard sell getting an inspection, right? And so that, you know, that I get the business. You know what? Here's the thing. You know, if you love the house and you got money in the bank and you can afford any potential issue that comes up, then cool, like move forward, you know, or like, hey, if you're doing a gut rehab, you know,
yeah, that's different.
What's that?
That's different. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're going to rehab the whole home, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'll get those calls and I'll, you know, I usually, you know, I'll actually talk people out of it and say, hey, whatever the you were going to pay me, I would pay a general contractor or whoever you're going to use to, you know, since you don't own the house, they may not come out for free. You're better served paying them because here's the thing. You're going to be ripping the place apart anyway. You got to bring everything up to code, your electric, your plumbing, your HVAC. So I'm happy to do it if you want, but I think you're wasting your money. You're better served going that direction.
Yeah.
Or the other time that I'll tell people, you know, a lot of times I'll get calls for people that want to buy where they're renting and they've been there 10, 15 years.
Okay.
They literally tell me everything that's wrong with the house. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. Or the condo, whatever they're buying. Great. Literally, tell me everything that's wrong with it. I'm like, okay, did you guys already agree on a price? Yes, it's as is. I'm like, okay, with everything you just told me, if you went back to the seller and you know, asked them for something and they said no, would you still move forward? And they're like, yeah. Then I'm like, save yourself the money. There's no sense in me coming up. Yeah. You know what I mean? You already know. So, you know, for people that are, you know, if you're doing new construction, you know, I think, you know, because, you know, most builders, right, the Pulte's, the DR, Hortons, MI's, you know, the big production builders, they offer, you know, typically a 1, 2, 5, and 10 year warranty, you know, so anything that comes up is under warranty. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as a used home, I think it just really depends on what your comfort level is. You know, maybe if you're in the construction industry or you have contacts or family, you know, where you can pull favors, then, you know, that can get you out of trouble if you buy a house and something comes up. But, you know, I'm neutral.
It's not a hard sell. You're just giving them the facts and you're letting them make that choice. For me, you know, if I'm representing a buyer, I'm going to always tell them to err on the side of caution. I don't care how much you think, you know, I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter. Get a home inspection because it's going to cost you somewhere around, depending on the house, but a typical bread and butter 25.
There, I think I lost.
Am I right though? A home inspection for about a 3,000-2,500 square foot house with the inspection, and let's say they're doing radon, is going to be somewhere around $650-$700 all in.
You know, the house, the inspection's about $500, and the radon is $250.
In the ballpark. So correct. That's my point, and that is. That, you know, guys, if you're going to invest in this $400,000-$600,000 thing that you're buying, it makes sense to do the home inspection and go in there with some peace of mind. And the amount you're spending on the home inspection relative to the amount you're spending on the product, the house, it's a no-brainer. You got to do it. You got to do it. And, you know, with all the things I've seen in the REO space, I'm like, dude, you gotta do your home inspections. You really do. I think it's important for buyers to do.
Yeah.
So someone wants to get in touch with you. BJ, do you go into the city? Do you do suburbs? What do you do? What's your main area and how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah. So you can reach me anytime on my cell 773-403-3298. You can find me on any social media. I'm on all of them. I'm happy to go anywhere in the state of Illinois in Northwest Indiana. City, Wisconsin border, Rockford, DeKalb, Kankakee, and then, like I said, Northwest Indiana. Naturally, I'm out of Lyle, you know, happy to drive anywhere. Obviously, if it's a little bit farther away, there's just a travel fee added on top of it, you know. Right. So,
but, so guys, I can vouch for BJ. He does an amazing job. He's great with buyers. And like we talked earlier, that is so important because every buyer, I don't care if you're buying new construction, I don't care if you're buying an 80-year-old home or you're buying a house that was built 10 years ago, stuff's coming up on that report. And someone's going to need to explain it. And BJ, you do an awesome job doing that. You put people at ease and you let them know what's up. So I thank you for that. And if you guys want to get in touch with BJ, one more time on your phone number.
773-403-3298.
Awesome talking to you today, dude.
Thank you for having me. It's always great.
We'll have to hit that Mexican. I owe you one at that Mexican restaurant. We're going to go back there.
That place was great. Right? I had to fuck for about an hour and sober up. My God, those margaritas were strong.
Awesome margaritas, man. All right, dude. See ya. Good luck today.
Thanks, bud. I'll see you soon.
All right, everybody, that was BJ Posnecki, owner operator of Inspect and Check Home Inspections. BJ's an awesome home inspector, does a great job. If you need a great home inspector, be sure to get in touch with him. Dylan wasn't able to make it today, but I want to cover something real quickly. So we know that 30-year rates are somewhere around, somewhere around 7.3% right now. Having said that, though, if you go online, if you just look up what's the 30-year rate, you may get an article that comes back and says the 30-year rate is 6.91%. I did this yesterday. That's what it came back at, 6.91%. And I was talking to Dylan, and I was like, hey, I'm curious about this. What are the 30-year rates right now? And he said, oh, they're about 7.3. I said, why am I going online and it's telling me the current 30-year fixed rate is about 6.91? And he said, because they're not including any points. They're not including other things that is giving you the actual interest rate on a 30-year fixed loan. So you got to be careful about that. When you're looking things up on the internet, make sure you are checking those things and making sure that you're talking with somebody that actually does this every day and is going to be able to tell you whether what you're seeing and what you're hearing is correct or not, because rates are at about 7.3 now, but if you go online, a lot of places you'll see 6.9. Somebody sent me something, an email the other day that said 6.45, and we know that's just not the case. That might be someone buying down a rate or, you know, some other thing where they're able to lower that rate a little bit from what the current rate is. So be aware of that. And make sure you're talking to experienced mortgage brokers. Make sure when you're buying a home, you're working with an experienced agent that has deep market knowledge of the area you're buying in, and make sure you get a home inspection. That's all I'll tell you. I have ripped down many walls in homes and found things I never thought I was going to find. And doing a home inspection is going to save you a lot of heartache in the long run. So guys, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you checking out the Real Estate Radio Show. We're on every Thursday at 11:30. You can catch us on YouTube at Larry Shackman. You can also catch us on LinkedIn, and you can also catch us on Facebook. So you guys take care, be well, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio with your host, Larry Shackman, the real estate therapist and top producing broker. Now go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and save thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Illinois license number 475-145-795. Tune in next week for the ultimate real estate radio experience.